Welcome to Still in College, where the Ithacan asks Ithaca College faculty about their college years. My name is Luke Harbour, multimedia editor of the Ithacan. Today, I'm speaking with Jocelyn Brenton, professor of sociology at Ithaca College. Dr. Brenton, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Luke.
Are you ready to do this?
Let's do it.
All right, let's dive right in. So we are going to start with some general questions and then get more personal.
Okay.
Let's begin. You graduated from the University of Maine in 2001. So let's backtrack 4 years earlier when you were a first-year student in 1997. What did you think college was going to be like?
Right. So actually, I started college at Temple University in Philadelphia.
Oh.
So I didn't start at the University of Maine.
Okay.
My college career took a winding path. I just needed to get out of Maine. I grew up in a really small town and wanted a different experience. Yeah, I didn't know what it was going to be like, but I was hoping it would be something different.
Sure. Okay, well then, once you got to college, what were your first impressions?
Yeah, well, I grew up in a rural town, and then Temple is in North Philadelphia, right? So I was in an urban environment. So that alone was just a big experience for me, right? Like, I'd never been on a subway. I remember this moment, I met a good friend who's still to this day my best friend, and she said, "Let's go downtown and have a Starbucks." And I said, I don't know what that is. And she said, "You don't know what Starbucks is?" And she had grown up in Boston, and she was very cosmopolitan, and here I was. I just felt like Rebecca from Sunnybrook Farm, you know, and I said, no. She said, "All right, come on. Let's go get you a Starbucks coffee." You know, so it was just a very exciting time of lots of discoveries.
Oh, gosh, I should say so. Well, then, okay, in thinking about your college career as a whole, what was one of your most favorite courses?
So, intro to sociology, right? So I actually started college as an occupational therapy major. I just picked it from a list in a book. You know, I think back then they gave you, you know, there weren't computers the way that students now are using them, the internet. You couldn't do research about careers like that. So you went to your guidance counselor, and they gave you a little personality test. And then from that, they would say, well, it looks like you might like a career in, you know, teaching or occupational therapy, or, you know, they give you a little list, and that was how you probably picked what you were going to do. And so I liked those classes, but I had an 8 a.m. intro to sociology class. I had to take it as a prerequisite. I didn't even know what sociology was. I was taking it to check off a box. And after the first week, I was just enthralled. I fell in love. I couldn't wait to get to that 8 a.m. class 3 days a week because I had found this discipline that really felt right. And I thought, I've always kind of been thinking like this. So it really resonated with me. And I switched my majors the next semester.
Throughout your college career, what was a class you really did not like or enjoy?
Oh, biology.
Ooh, think, why?
Well,
why?
Because it was a theater-style class. You know, there was like 500 of us in there, and the professor was like a little speck down at the front, and he wore a headset. I think the only thing I remember is he used to just make jokes about, like, testicles. I don't know. That's the only thing I remember from, like, 1997 from that class. I had no interaction with other students in that class. It was just a show-up, listen, and memorize kind of class. So I actually think biology is fascinating, but it wasn't in that particular class, right? So it was a uphill walk all semester, it felt like, in that class.
Dr. Brenton, we're going to get a little more personal.
Mm-hmm.
For some students, college is also a time to explore what romantic relationships mean to them.
Mm-hmm.
In college, did you date?
I did. I dated in college. At one point, I had a pretty serious relationship for 2 years. I was dating a guy who I had met while I was traveling overseas, and we met on a little Mediterranean island called Cyprus. I was there actually doing some research stuff for a little undergraduate scholarship I had gotten. He was there studying, and he's Russian. He was there going to college. And so, yeah, we had this torrid romance. It was great. It was fun. And when we parted ways after 2 months, I thought, oh, this was lovely. I'm probably never going to see this person ever again. But I got back to the University of Maine, and we were writing letters. So this was back in 99, right? This was just when, like, college-wide email was just starting to be a thing. Online chatting was just being invented. And so you didn't have as many ways to communicate with somebody who was, you know, a long ways away. But we found ways, and actually, to my surprise, the relationship continued. And that was a 2-year relationship, this long-distance thing. On breaks in the summertime, I would travel back to this island in the Mediterranean to spend time with him.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm curious. Did you fall in love with him, or did you fall in love with anyone in college?
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, the first time I fell in love with was in high school, and I think people in high school have quite a capacity to fall in love and to have really meaningful relationships. And I fell in love in high school, and I just had my heart broken, you know? And so I think that college relationship was my second great love, right? And the third being the person who I'm partnered with now and have kids with, and then that's my long life partner love. So yeah, no, I think he was definitely a somebody I was in love with, though.
Definitely. I think as students, you know, being the age that we're at, there's a lot of things we're naive about. And I know I'm very curious to know, what would you say is a lesson you learned from falling in love at this age?
I think people arrive at college with varying levels of experience. One of the lessons I learned, I was still forming my identity in college. In fact, for some people, that is the beginning of a major process of exploring an identity or a new identity. And so for me, the biggest lesson was, how do I figure out who I am and what I want and what I believe in? And how do I do that at the same time that I'm in this relationship with this other person who's going through the same exact process? Right? So that process can help you, right? That relationship can help you figure out who you are, what you want, what you don't. And sometimes it can also distract you from going inward and being on that journey yourself, right? So it's relationships. There's always some trade-off we're making.
Sure. Okay, that's so true. Okay. So then for some college students, it's a time to explore the party life.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Brenton, did you attend parties in college?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That was a big part of the.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of the process. I think students are coming to college to develop their intellect, right? To develop their thinking. I think the social aspect is an incredibly valuable part of it. I went to a very small high school growing up, 400 kids total, right? So you didn't always have the choice about who you were going to be friends with. There were only 80 people in my graduating class. It limited me in some ways about who I could be friends with. So the beauty of college is you get to college and you just have all of these people. Some who have shared your experiences, some who have had very different experiences. So it's an exciting time to get to know people, and parties are, you know, a great place where that's happening. I sort of made a rule with myself about partying, though. I did plenty of it. I enjoyed it. But I was paying for college myself, and I really literally couldn't afford to fail. And so it wasn't an option for partying to get in the way of my college success. So I kind of held myself to this standard where, you know, during the day I was getting my work done and I would have to get my homework done. And after homework was done, all bets were off, right? And it was kind of nice. Then I could actually go out and party and be relaxed and actually enjoy the partying instead of being at the party and worrying about this assignment I hadn't completed yet that was waiting for me. So maybe I took a little bit of a practical approach to partying, but I did plenty of it.
What's a party that you remember the most? What was one of the most memorable parties you went to?
When I was a junior senior, we threw a come-as-you're-not party. And this was great. So you just show up to the party, but you have to come dressed or acting as something that you're not normally. Come as you're not. So it was like this really great time to try on an alter ego, right, or something. And it was great. People came. They had like super creative ideas, and some people would come and, you know, they'd be speaking in accents or something to just try on this identity that wasn't what they felt they normally were. So, you know, that was fun.
So, Dr. Brenton, I kind of want to get now into the perspective of what it's like to be a professor today and what professors may have been more like back then. Mm-hmm. Maybe stereotyping to say this, but don't worry. We're going to hash it out and make sure we get it straight. Okay. So, in being a college professor now, what is one way you believe that student life has changed?
Yeah. You know, it feels like an obvious one, but the technology. So sometimes when I'm in class and I'm teaching, I'll remind my students, I'll say, you know, and it feels like I'm dating myself, but I'll say we didn't have cell phones. So I graduated in 2001. And at that time on University of Maine's campus, you might see one or two people walking around with a cell phone, but people would stare because, you know, it was like, oh, these things that were... I heard people have those. What do they do with them? You know, I mean, and so it was a real novelty. So sometimes students will be like, well, how? There was no Facebook. There was none of this. And they said, well, how did you communicate? How did you organize yourselves? If you were going to go out and party or do anything. And I said, you went down to and you knocked on somebody's door. And if they weren't there, you left a sticky note. And you're like, hey, you know, meet you somewhere at 6. And then that meant that everybody, when you made a plan, everybody kept that plan. There was no changing that plan because there was no way to communicate changes. So, you know, that was one of the big differences I see between when I was a college student and then how you all are experiencing college now. People just talk to each other a lot because you didn't have a phone to look at.
Tell me about the classroom experiences and interactions that you had with your professors at Temple. So how were interactions between you and professors similar as you interact with your students now?
I actually went to a second college before University of Maine, so 3 total. After my first year at Temple, I took a semester off. I did a little traveling, tried to figure out what I wanted to do. And then I ended up at Springfield College in Springfield, Massachusetts. I was only there for a semester, but I was in a philosophy class at Springfield, a philosophy of love class. It was right up my alley. It was great. I just loved it. And the professor was this really eccentric white dude who showed up every day dressed all in black. Black beret, black t-shirt, black pants, black socks, black shoes, right? And this was his, like, thing, his outfit that he was wearing, and he never changed it. And so, of course, we were all curious, why does this guy come dressed in monocolor every day? And, you know, he was just this, like, brooding, constantly in an existential crisis, philosopher dude, right? But I remember that class, one, because of his outfit, and two, because he really wanted to get us thinking about love and what does it mean to be loved or to love others. And he just asked us a lot of really deep questions. And so that was a memorable learning experience for me. And I think that I try to carry that into my own classroom, right? Asking one deep question is oftentimes more powerful than if I were to just talk to students or lecture them for 20 minutes.
What is one piece of advice that you'd like to give to college students?
Try to cultivate and practice radical openness. And what does that mean? What does that look like? I mean, that's probably a whole different segment in and of itself. But I think it means taking the time to slow down, to not just listen, but to hear what other people are saying, to be willing to think about things that make you feel uncomfortable, to be willing to consider ideas and viewpoints that may initially make you feel uncomfortable, and to sit with that and to see where it goes, right? So it takes a certain amount of courage
Amazing. That was very well said. This has been Still in College, where the Ithacan asks Ithaca College faculty about their college years. My name is Luke Harbour, multimedia editor of the Ithacan, and today I spoke with sociology professor Jocelyn Brenton. Dr. Brenton, thank you again for your time.